NASA has delayed the test flight of its new spacecraft Orion, which was scheduled to launch this morning. High winds and sticky fuel valves got in the way, but NASA is trying again tomorrow. On this first unmanned test flight, Orion will spend just a few hours in space orbiting the Earth twice. Eventually, NASA plans to send the capsule to Mars and back with astronauts on board. Colonel Jack Fisher is a NASA astronaut who's been working on the project. Hi, Colonel Fisher.
How are you doing?
Good. So Bill Hill, a NASA administrator, called this test flight absolutely the biggest thing that this agency is going to do this year. So why is it so big?
Because it's the first step for us. It's really the first step in a new age of space exploration. We've had so much happen this year, and it will test the key technologies that are going to be critical for us to take those next steps. So our next test flight in 2017 with the world's largest rocket, the Space Launch System, and then eventually with humans on board. So it really is a huge, huge test for us that opens up the door for a whole new age of exploration.
And what are some of the big revelations you'll be looking for with this test flight?
So, you know, some of the key technologies that have to work every single time or we'll lose the crew in the vehicle are the pyrotechnics. So what they do is they make sure that all the different pieces that need to fall off at the right times, like the boosters themselves to separate the vehicle from that, the shielding around certain parts of the vehicle, the launch abort system to come off, and to separate the vehicle at the end, we're going to be testing the avionics and their shielding and design as we go through the Van Allen belts, where we have kind of that big electromagnetic pulse and radiation effects that we'll be monitoring. Then as we come back, we'll be going 20,000 miles an hour and temperatures in excess of 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit as we plunge back into the atmosphere. And we're going to slow down from 20,000 miles an hour to a soft landing in the Pacific Ocean in a little over 10 minutes utilizing a staged parachute system with 11 parachutes and reefing that will slow us down. And once there are humans on board, not, you know, overstress their capabilities. And we'll also be testing the heat shield that will bear the brunt of that 4,000-degree inferno that we're going to put it through.
So this heat upon reentry is a really important part of this. Can you describe just how critical that part of the journey is?
Absolutely. So as we go to further destinations, and you know, this vehicle is being designed to really take us beyond where we've ever been before, the further you go, the steeper your reentry is when you come back into the Earth's atmosphere. And the steeper you come back in, the more heat you generate. So this isn't the end point of the capability of that heat shield, but it is a great stressor. And it will verify our models to make sure that we're really on the right track.
So how different is this capsule from, say, the Apollo spacecraft that went to the moon?
Well, it's quite a bit bigger. Instead of a crew of three going to the moon and then separating with the lunar module like we did in the Apollo program, this will be a crew of four that will need to be sustained for up to 21 days. So it's quite a bit more resources are needed, air, food, water, all of the critical items, as well as the propulsion that it will take to get this larger vehicle there. But that will also increase our capabilities and flexibility to adapt to any mission that we need to use this vehicle for in the future.
And part of the idea here is to get this thing up and around the moon and back, and then eventually to land it on an asteroid. And I'm sure people are wondering, why in the world do you want to land this thing on an asteroid?
So one of the options that we're looking at is the asteroid redirect mission, where we actually go, just like we had with our ESA partners, our European partners, who landed on a comet. We will try to find an asteroid that we can grab and then pull to that point where we don't have to expend any propulsive measures to keep it there. And then we can launch and be able to rendezvous with the asteroid and take those samples and learn who knows what. We'll obviously be selecting that asteroid based on not only its orbit but its characteristics so that we can determine and find answers to questions we didn't even know we had.
Well, NASA's had all sorts of problems recently, funding being one of them, technical problems, political uncertainty is always an issue. What do you think will be the hardest thing about actually getting a manned Mars mission off the ground?
I think you pegged it. I think working with it within the political environment that we have in our country, and it obviously is a very challenging one. But, you know, I would also say that I think NASA has really turned a corner recently. And I think some of the things that we're doing just in this past year are really groundbreaking. And I think this really is the start of a new age of space exploration, not only because of Orion, but also the Commercial Crew Program. I think we're really opening space up and seeding a new industry, just like we did with the railroad, with the airlines back in the day. The government supported that and you know, threw around the seeds and made sure it was fertile soil and allowed those new industries to grow. And I feel like NASA is doing that now.
You know, this project is extremely expensive. Government projects it to be over $20 billion by the time it's all said and done. And it's probably only going to get more expensive as time goes on. So I wonder how NASA could keep this project funded and from running over the budget.
A great question. And obviously, that's a problem with all of our acquisition programs that we engage on as a country. And the more ambitious and the more challenging the project, the harder it is to stay on those budgets. The thing that I would come back with is that regardless of that budget and what we're getting out of it, there's several ways to look at it. First off, as we saw in the Apollo program, we've had reports for decades talking about the return on investment for every dollar spent on NASA, is that we find those new technologies to solve the hardest problems. And then people see those technologies because everything we do is open. But also, and it's a whole lot harder to measure, is the inspiration that can come from this. I know that as a child, the Apollo program and the shuttle program are what drove me into wanting to be in the Air Force, wanting to be an engineer, a test pilot. And, you know, hopefully I was able to make a difference in those fronts. And that is solely based on the inspiration that I gained and gleaned from the space program itself.
And Colonel Fisher, I can see from your bio you're still a young man, and I wonder if funding technology.
Well, thanks for saying that. I don't know if I agree, but
do you think if funding and technology and all the political questions get ironed out, and there is a manned mission to Mars, would you want to be one of the astronauts on that flight?
I absolutely would, but I also see space flight as a gift, and I've met some folks today in the younger generation that are excited and passionate about taking the place of our current core of astronauts and strapping themselves in to go to Mars. So I will gladly jump in if given the opportunity, but I'll also stand aside if the next generation is ready to do it themselves.
Jack Fisher is an astronaut who's involved with the Orion project. Thanks very much for speaking with us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
And there's a video of NASA preparing for the launch at hereandnow.org. You'll find a link to NASA's blog for live updates. I don't know, all this is enough to bring the little kid out in all of us.